just this morning, we posted again from an interview from J.B. Pritzker where he showed up at somewhere yesterday, and he continues to tell the people, I've made life more affordable for you. I have yet to find one single person that will admit in any way, shape, or form that life is more affordable today. So you're exactly right. I'm calling for just a flat-out a six-month suspension of the gas tax because of where you're at and even where I'm at over here on the Indiana border. People can drive across the border. It is literally $1 a gallon. Now, our tax is 50 cents. So I don't know where the other 50 cents is coming from, but there is many cases, 60, 80, right now today, over by Terre Haute, Indiana. Gas is $1 higher on the Indiana side than what it is, and I know up in the Iowa border it's that way a lot too. And when people go across to buy gas, which they do, they shop, they eat out, so that needs to be dealt with. Our property taxes, J.B. Pritzker, he brags about how state funding of our schools and municipalities is less what it was 8 years ago, and he's correct because he pulled the rug out from under everybody, took money, wasted it, and that forced municipalities and schools to raise property taxes.
You're listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Heartland Politics show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of eastern Iowa and northwestern Illinois. I'm your host, Robin Johnson, and I'm very pleased and honored to have as my guest today the Republican candidate for governor of Illinois, Darren Bailey. Darren was my guest 4 years ago when he ran. And just a little bit of background for you listeners who may be a little unfamiliar listening to Darren for the first time. He served in the Illinois House in the 109th District. Previously, he also served in the Illinois Senate. And he's from southern Illinois, beautiful country down there, and he's got some new living arrangements, which we'll get to in a minute. But first, Darren, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Well, good morning, Robin, and it wouldn't be possible without your time, so thank you very much. And it's I love whatever it takes, just getting the message out, getting the news out, updating people, letting them know that this amazing constitutional republic that we live in, the greatest nation that the earth will ever know, is only possible with the participation of we the people. And that's probably what we're struggling most with this day and age. But that can be easily fixed if we just figure it out and get involved.
I'll start out just as I do all candidates, just why you're running. Illinois, it's tough to run as a Republican in Illinois. But I remember, I'm old enough to remember when it was tough to run as a Democrat. But you're running against a person with unlimited funds in a blue state. Why'd you embark on this again?
Well, the Illinois story, it's just, you're exactly right. Everywhere you go, people realize, oh, you're from Illinois, and oh, you're running against a billionaire governor. But isn't that the story of this country? You know, just the underdog coming from 250 years ago, what we did to gain our freedom till now. And so I'm a business person. I'm a farmer, Southern Illinois Trucking Company, excavating business. And Cindy and I, we're going to celebrate 40 years of marriage coming up here on August 2nd. 14 grandchildren, 4 children. I'm just passionate about life. And you know, you mentioned the fact that I served in the General Assembly. I want to let the listeners know I just served one term in the House and one term in the Senate. And I found out that, Cindy and I believed I was being called to this. I got a little ticked off at the high tax increases in 2017 that my state representative was supporting. I got a little too mouthy about it. And people said, well, why don't you run? So here I am. 4 years ago, polling had us, we were neck and neck with J.B. Pritzker. And if many people may remember, and sometimes it gets chastised, the fact that the race was called by AP News 2 minutes until 7. We got on the radio or horn with them and said, hey, you might want to retract that because I think you got your numbers messed up. But they let us know that over 100 years of monitoring a few precincts that, no, the race was done. And the reason? Low voter turnout. that was the reason. 40 plus percent of all voters are all that showed up to vote, and that's the reason we're struggling across the nation and in Illinois. So we believed, I just felt the calling again to run. I wasn't satisfied with the other candidates in the race. I didn't think they had the wherewithal, the knowledge, the backbone to stand and do what was right. So we just threw our name in the hat and took a four-way race, took it again, took 54% of the vote. And so we're here to get Illinois turned around. And I believe at the end of the day, with these disastrous policies and the lies that we continue to hear come out of J.B. Pritzker's mouth about how he made Illinois more affordable, it's going to resonate with people because they're tired, they're fed up, they're struggling, and I think they're ready for something different. We just got to turn that frustration into votes.
You know, the urban-rural divide is one of the big divisions in our country right now. And I know it's education is another and all that, but rural and urban, it's like two different worlds. And you've done something kind of interesting in this campaign to address that. Talk about that a little bit with our listeners.
So Cindy and I are residing pretty much full time. We'll 10% of the time we'll get back home to take care of some business and bounce across the state. You know, there's a few meetings, but we are living in Chicago. We're in the Grant Park area. I will say it's amazing. The people up there are ready for change. So being boots on the ground in the businesses and the restaurants and the Ubers and the taxis and just going in and out of businesses every day, people recognize us. They're coming up and having a conversation with us. Here's what is different than from 4 years ago. Obviously, my platform is affordability, safety, and education. So Chicago knows that it's forefront that their schools are failing. The Safety Act is not working for them. They're feeling it. They weren't feeling it 4 years ago. But front and center is the affordability crisis. They are feeling it big time right now. It's interesting to note that 4 years ago, when Mayor Lightfoot was running for a re-election, Cook County or Chicago, the city of Chicago, froze their property tax increases, frozen for 4 years. Well, guess what? It's up this year. People are receiving their property tax notices, their first installments. They are double. Some are triple. And not only are people angry, but they're scared to death and they're fearful because many people know that they cannot afford to make these payments. And the question is, what comes next? So high energy prices, high gas prices, this ridiculous continued growth in property taxes. We relay that right at the feet of J.B. Pritzker, and we're going to make sure that people understand that and that they choose and decide they want something different.
You know, my contention is, and I don't like to offer my opinions on here. I turn it over to my guests. But in this case, you've said something interesting here. I see a lot of polling and just talking to people. I talk to people on both sides of the divide. My sense is that people everywhere are closer on these issues than what the press portrays it to be. It just seems like there's people on each side that want to keep us divided, but most people are in the middle and could resolve these problems pretty quickly. Are you finding that to some degree in by living in Chicago?
Well, definitely. And our reception this year versus being up there 4 years ago seems to be a lot greater. And I'm going to be honest with you. My first term as a state rep, my first term as a state senator, getting involved 4 years ago, I was angry and frustrated because I witnessed the dysfunction of government. So I probably carried some of that divide myself and that anger too much 4 years ago. So I've realized that, you know, Cindy and I, as we considered getting back into this race, we knew something had to be different. And as we so we did, we went to work and found out, okay, after all of my frustration with the policymakers that really messed this up, how do we actually unify people? And you're right, that's that message of affordability, safety, and education. That is the only thing I'm focused on, because at the end of the day, I believe that when we win in November, it's going to send shockwaves across this state and this nation. And you know, the people who have been elected for quite some time, they're going to be put on notice. And they're going to be put on notice because, you know, people are frustrated. So I'm going to give them a chance to come and to work together and actually make Illinois a more affordable, safer, better place to raise and educate our children. And I believe we can do that. We're going to push politics aside. I don't care who the president is. I don't care what side of the aisle. I don't care what your lifestyle is. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is our future. I think that was one of the main things on your first question. Why am I running? It's because of my children and my grandchildren. I'm not happy about the future. And not only that, I'm very concerned about their future. So let's make it better because we can, but we have got to work together to make that happen. And that's what I hope to bring to the table, because J.B. Pritzker's proven in 8 years, any policy that he comes up with, it's him and it's the Speaker of the House and it's the President of the Senate. They go into the back room, they come up with some kind of a deal, and you know, this recent debacle of losing the Bears is front and center. You know, the Bears were never invited to the table to talk about what they were interested in. As a matter of fact, a lot of people don't realize that 6 years ago, the Bears had concerns. They came, and Pritzker and the General Assembly leaders were nowhere to be found. That's why they found Indiana to work with. So the Safety Act, you know, we all know that law enforcement had no say in any of that. And the day of ignoring the people, I think, is over with. The people want to be heard. They want to have a seat at the table, and that's what I bring.
The big issue, and you've mentioned it multiple times already in our interview, is the cost of living. I hear that every day. Gas prices are now back up. Of course, that's due to what's going on in the Middle East mostly, maybe not a state issue. But there are some things, though, the state government can do to lighten the load a little bit. What are some of your ideas on, you know, gas prices, food, utilities, all the things that are really hitting people right now?
Now, you're right. And that's what we're highlighting, and I encourage people, find my Facebook page, find our X account. We're really hitting that hard just this morning. I'm doing that a little bit differently. Even 4 years ago, as we traveled around the state, lots of people were turning out, and we were taking pictures. Hey, we're here today, we're there today, and it felt good, but we realized that, again, one of the things we were doing different. We're really digging. I've got an amazing data team that's working and finding these facts and this information. And just this morning, we posted again from an interview from J.B. Pritzker, where he showed up at somewhere yesterday, and he continues to tell the people, I've made life more affordable for you. I have yet to find one single person that will admit in any way, shape, or form that life is more affordable today. So you're exactly right. I'm calling for just a flat out a 6 month suspension of the gas tax, because of where you're at, and even where I'm at over here on the Indiana border, people can drive across the border. It is literally $1 a gallon. Now, our tax is 50 cents. So I don't know where the other 50 cents is coming from, but there is many cases, 60, 80 right now today. Over by Terre Haute, Indiana, gas is $1 higher on the Indiana side than what it is. And I know up in the Iowa border, it's that way a lot, too. And when people go across to buy gas, which they do, they shop, they eat out. So that needs to be dealt with. Our property taxes, J.B. Pritzker, he brags about how state funding of our schools and municipalities is less what it was 8 years ago. And he's correct, because he pulled the rug out from under everybody, took money, wasted it, and that forced municipalities and schools to raise property taxes. Now, that's why that's taking place. And our energy, J.B., he created this energy crisis. We're shutting down coal. He's shutting down natural gas. He put a moratorium on nuclear. I know recently he worked out a plan to lift that, but we're seeing no benefit of that. And then he brought these data centers in here that are financed on the backs of the taxpayers. They sucked up our energy. So now in downstate Illinois, our energy costs are double what they were a year ago, and they're starting to feel them in the northern half. And guess what, friends, and here in about another 2 months, you're going to feel another spike. So that is all within the realm of state government to begin to offer a relief on it. And immediately people say, well, yeah, but you're going to make all these cuts. Where's the money going to come from? Friends, the money's in the budget. When I started running in 2017, Illinois state budget was $32 billion, and today it's $56 billion. It just, we spent, Illinois, J.B. Pritzker spent $3 billion in 2025 to take care of people who are here illegally, giving them free shelter, free clothing, free food, free health care. all while ignoring our veterans, our senior citizens, and the people who need help the most. So that's what state government can do if they get their heads together and start focusing on the priorities instead of dreaming up these crazy bills and ideas just so that they can put their name on a piece of paper and hang it in their office. So that's what I got to say about that.
You're listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and today my guest is Darren Bailey, the Republican candidate for governor in Illinois. He's a former one-term state representative, one-term state senator, and from southern Illinois, but right now he's actually living in Chicago. Very interesting, I think, approach to try to understand a different part of the state from where he's from, which, I think we need. I'm not in the business of giving advice to anybody, but I think the governor would be well served maybe to come downstate. He's welcome to stay here at my house for a while. We just need this to overcome this divide, which, again, I feel is manufactured by a lot of media and people who profit off of this. But that, I don't want to get on my high horse here. But anyway, we've talked a little bit. Darren's talked a little bit about his platform on how to reduce costs. And you mentioned the budget. One thing I'm interested in, and I know this Doge thing that Musk did for Trump, did some controversial things and all, but the idea of it, I think, was a good one. And people forget Clinton Gore had the National Performance Review. Reagan had the Grace Commission. I mean, one of the benefits of age. I remember all this. It's attempts to look for places where waste are. Do you think Illinois would benefit from something like that?
Well, Illinois is going to benefit from something like that when I'm elected as governor. So I like to remind people, people ask what this looks like, because you're, to your point, a lot of people, when they hear Doge, and we came out with that early on, and I knew what it meant, but a lot of people it did. It scared them, concerned them, because maybe it wasn't carried out exactly efficiently as it should have been in their federal government. But I think most people know who Nick Shirley is. He's the young man that exposed all the fraud in Minnesota, and Governor Waltz decided not to run because of all the fraud that was exposed. And I'm actually issuing that same kind of challenge to our young people. So let's back up. I didn't even fully understand it until I met and had a discussion with Nick Shirley a couple months ago. So within government, there's NGOs, non-governmental organizations. So every time you see J.B. Pritzker stand up and say, today we're putting $100 million into a mental health, today I'm adding another $50 million into education. So I always heard that, and I really naively thought that, oh, okay, he's bolstering up what the state does for the people. But in reality, every time he says that, and one of the biggest expenditures sometimes in state government are these non-governmental organizations. It's an organization that maybe provides healthcare services, maybe provides a tutoring or assistance. So Nick Shirley came up with a list of these addresses for NGOs in Minnesota. And he got this idea because he's a 21-year-old YouTuber. I'm going to go to these addresses and see what they have going on. He found over 90% of the time there was no one home. There was a piece of paper that said, call this number. He tried to call the number, make contacts. What happens is that Pritzker and Walls, these are patronage positions. Billions of dollars in $100 million increments spread out for these NGOs. And you know what these NGOs most of the time are doing right now? They're out knocking on doors trying to garner J.B. Pritzker votes so that he can stay in office, so that they can keep their money game going on. The state does have, accountability measures within the General Assembly that Pritzker handpicks. How do you think that's working out? So that's what Nick Shirley exposed in Minnesota. And I believe once we begin to crack the can open in Illinois, it's literally going to be grotesque as to the fraud, the waste, the abuse that we are going to find. So the money that I'm talking about saving, putting a 1% property tax cap on our homes, backing off on this gas tax, giving relief to the energy to the energy bills, it's there. And where we're going to be able to keep doing the same thing, there's not going to be any slowdown. There's a $3 billion surplus sitting in the gas tax fund right now. And the General Assembly continues to take that and send it to the CTA in Chicago and continue to spend it as well and waste it as they always do. So government here in Illinois needs transparency and it needs accountability. And people are going to be shocked when we start busting open some of the waste that's out there.
You know, as a resident of Illinois, I always hate to see, last week, another indictment of a, this time a downstate politician, state representative. A state representative from Chicago just resigned because of sexual harassment. It just seems never ending, the ethics and corruption that we're dealing with in Illinois. And they passed some measures, but it just seems like I'll share a quick story. I was in New Jersey, and when with my brother's house, and some friends asked where I was from, and I said Illinois, and they were like, "Oh, you know." So we're getting looked at worse than New Jersey, which takes some doing, as far as corruption.
But we are.
What are your thoughts on this? How about term limits? What do you think will help? And maybe campaign finance reform? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, both of those for sure. I mean, when I ran for state rep, even in 2018, I said, you know, I'm only serving for 10 years. And I honestly thought I'd serve for 10 years, get some things done, and come back home. And again, that's why I'm here running for governor, because I figured out the dysfunction of government. Anyone wants to tell you there's accountability measures, they pass, they talk, they put, it's a joke. It is a joke. In 2019, my first year as a state representative, one of the auditor generals literally stepped down, and she was from Central Illinois, and she said, "I can't do anything." She said, "Every time I think that I find fraud, the speaker or the president of the Senate, they force her to back down. You back down, so out of frustration, they walk away." So, you know, the facts here are becoming very, very clear that Chris Welch knew about. Let's back up. So we have, you know, Carol Ammons, which is, I mean, when again. 2019 as a state rep, she, you know, was accused of, and I think found guilty of, stealing purses from a thrift store in Champaign, you know, and that all got swept under the rug. We this state representative Bent that just recently stepped down, terrible allegations regarding that, and it's becoming evident that the Speaker of the House knew about this a year ago. No, these people don't want reform. They don't want accountability. They don't even want the government to run the way it should. This corruption it feeds these people. It's who they are. It's why we have problems in Illinois. And as governor, front and center, where's J.B. Pritzker's message on any of this? You're not hearing any of this because he knows that it's going to hurt his message, his party, his chances of reelection, his ultimate opportunity to run for president, which is, this is what this is all about. That's what's going on here. We need someone of the people who will fight for the people. And that's what I bring to the table. I'll call it out. I don't care whose side, what side of the aisle it's on. I already have in years past serving. So we need some integrity in government. And obviously, as you suggested, we're lacking that, especially on J.B. Pritzker's side of the aisle. It is, it's non-existent, period.
Mentioned AI data centers earlier, and it's an interesting issue because, a lot of these are being targeted to be built in rural areas across the country, and people see it as maybe potential for jobs. As you know, somebody downstate, we need jobs. We need good-paying jobs. But there are some very legitimate concerns over power usage and whether local ratepayers are going to pay the bill, and some water challenges as well. Where do you come down on this issue?
Well, recently, I think a lot of us were beginning to discover that these data centers, they are billion-dollar companies profiting billions of dollars, first and foremost. I don't know that we were informed and understood that when all this happened, because every data center that's popped up in Illinois as of now is being built off the backs of the taxpayers. These massive, and you can go on my Facebook page and take a look at the one in DeKalb that J.B. Pritzker's blind trust has ownership in, and months after the data center was built, well, here came Amazon to park them, Facebook, which, guess what, J.B. Pritzker owns about 20% of. So we can start to understand, you know, how and why this is happening. So What we've learned, there needs to be an immediate halt. As governor, I will bring about an immediate halt of all contracts, because the reality is there's a law for the next 20 years that gives these data centers massive tax incentives. That needs to stop. We do need to understand. I think it appears that this data center, this drive for AI, this is the new race to space. This is the new arms race. And if we do let China get ahead of us, there could be some terrible consequences in years to come. But however, we've got to be smart about this, and we've got to truly understand what they're about, what they're for, what they're going to do. They do bring increased tax revenue to the counties. They don't provide long term the amount of jobs that we thought they did. But we just need to have a complete halt and regroup and reeducate and go about this differently.
Time out.
I've got time, Darren. I got about 2 minutes. Two and a half minutes. I want to close by offering you an opportunity to make a closing statement to our listeners out there, people who may be hearing you for the first time, people may be undecided. Go ahead and make the closing argument like in a court case. Why should people vote for you?
Well, thank you so much. First and foremost, go to my website, baileyforillinois.com. If you want to invite us to come and to your church, to your community, to an event, if you want to join as a volunteer, if you want to donate. Also, I have another webpage, Blueprint for Illinois. So everybody's always asking, well, what's the plan? Well, go to Blueprint for Illinois, and you'll kind of see a rough draft of our plan. But friends, we are definitely to the stage of what do you have to lose? I'm going to contend, if you elect J.B. Pritzker as your governor for another 4 years, you've got a lot to lose, if not everything. This state of Illinois is a great state. So the real answer, how do we turn everything around? The real answer is we get back what we've lost. Morton Salt left, your Do-It Centers, HWI stores, they're moving to Fort Wayne, Indiana. I mean, just the fact that Caterpillar, John Deere, all our massive industries, they're building in other states instead of here in Illinois. We've got to make Illinois a business-friendly state again. We draw in an industry. With that comes jobs. With that, people build homes. They pay taxes. That's the answer. And for some crazy reason, other than a socialist communist mentality, I cannot figure out why J.B. Pritzker stands against all that, and by proof of 8 years of governance, has made life so restrictive and unaffordable to us. People are moving and everyone's thinking about it. That can be changed in one swift decision if you show up and vote early on or before November 3rd, and let's usher in a new era for Illinois.
Okay. Darren Bailey, Republican candidate here in Illinois for governor, running, has been my guest today, and I know how busy you are, and so I appreciate the time. And just for our listeners, we did discuss a very important topic off air beforehand, and that's the quality of the sweet corn. So we will get back to that later. So, Darren, thank you so much for taking the time today.
God bless, and thank you.
You've been listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK Quad Cities NPR. You can follow Heartland Politics at WVIK.org or wherever you subscribe to podcasts.